All right, strap in, everybody. Today's deep dive is a little unusual. We're going to be looking at how, get this, a 19th century anarchist philosopher might interpret, wait for it, Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, you might be surprised how much a simple children's story can actually help us understand some pretty complex philosophical ideas.
And we're not just talking about any philosopher. We're talking about Pierre-Joseph Proudhon. He was a pretty harsh critic of both capitalism and estate control, you know, really pushed for a more just way of sharing wealth, and was a big believer in the power of individual labor.
Exactly. Proudhon's work can be, well, pre-dense, to be honest. But if we use this familiar story of Little Red Riding Hood as a framework, it makes it surprisingly accessible.
So today we're tackling this question. How would Proudhon's ideas shape his view of Little Red Riding Hood? And maybe even more importantly, how do those ideas resonate in our modern world? You know, the information age and all that.
It's pretty fascinating to think, all right, we're not just talking about fairy tales here, but how systems of power and ownership have evolved over time.
All right, so let's start with the story itself. Little Red Riding Hood, she sets off to bring some goodies to her sick grandma. She runs into a wolf in the woods, and, well, I think we all know what happens next.
But what's really interesting is how certain parts of the story kind of line up with Proudhon's core beliefs. Like, take the woods, for example. They're a shared resource. Proudhon would say that a space like that shouldn't be, you know, fenced off by private property, but should be open to everyone.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you've got Red using the woods, the wolf's using them, and I'm sure the woodcutter uses them too. It's a shared space. And then there's the wolf. He tricks Red, takes advantage of her, kind of like how Proudhon saw the powerful taking advantage of, well, the vulnerable in economic systems.
Exactly. And then you've got the grandmother who needs Red's help, right? She represents the kind of the vulnerability of those who are, let's say, disadvantaged in an unequal system.
Okay, but then you've got the woodcutter. Wow. He's the one who saves the day. How would Proudhon interpret that? I mean, does he represent individual resistance against injustice, or is he more like a call for collective action to protect those who are vulnerable?
Now, that's a great question. That really brings up the debate about the most effective way to bring about social change, right? Is it through an individual hero or is it through collective action? I mean, Proudhon really wrestled with that idea a lot in his work.
Okay, so let's dive into some of Proudhon's, like, big ideas. His famous quote, "Property is theft." How might that apply to the wolf sneaking into grandma's house?
Oh, that's a great parallel. The way the wolf tricks his way into a place that doesn't belong to him really embodies how Proudhon saw, well, the accumulation of property. He thought it often came from exploitation, where a few benefit at the expense of the many.
So the wolf kind of becomes like a stand-in for those systems Proudhon was critiquing. You know, the ones who are taking property through, shall we say, questionable means. And then there's Little Red Riding Hood herself. She's walking along with her basket and everything, thinking she's in control. But is she really?
That feeling of control is kind of an illusion, and it connects to Proudhon's critique of capitalism's, well, false promises of individual freedom. He'd say that there are always bigger forces at work shaping the outcomes no matter what we choose.
So even though Red is doing all this stuff, baking the cake, picking the flowers, it's the wolf who ultimately benefits.
Yeah, exactly. And that's Proudhon's labor theory of value. The idea that those who actually do the work, the ones who create the value, they often don't get the full benefits of their labor. Someone else is exploiting that effort for their own gain.
Wow. It's crazy how a story that simple can illustrate such a complex concept. So if we could reimagine this story in a world shaped by Proudhon's ideas, what would that look like?
Now that's where things get really interesting. In a world where, let's say, mutualism and cooperation are the most important values, could Red and the wolf have, you know, coexisted peacefully? Could their interaction have been built on mutual benefit instead of deception and exploitation?
And bringing it all into the present, how would Proudhon's critique of property apply to the information age? I mean, we create so much data all the time, but who actually owns it? Who controls it? Is information the new woods, a shared resource that's being, well, fenced off?
You hit the nail on the head. Proudhon's ideas become so relevant when we think about things like data ownership, net neutrality, even things like intellectual property. Who really benefits from all this information we're creating? I mean, are there, like, wolf in the digital world, you know, entities that are exploiting this valuable resource for their own gain.
Right, right.
Think about it. Algorithms that manipulate how we behave. Companies collecting tons of data on us without us really even knowing. Or even the spread of misinformation, whether it's for political reasons or just to make a buck.
Yeah, it's almost like a new kind of wolf. One that preys on our vulnerabilities in this digital world. So if Proudhon was so skeptical of, like, traditional government, what did he think was a better alternative?
Well, Proudhon wasn't, like, promoting chaos or saying we shouldn't have any structure at all. He actually believed in a society that was built on people voluntarily cooperating, where individuals and communities, you know, could govern themselves without needing someone at the top telling them what to do.
So not getting rid of organization completely, but shifting who holds the power.
Exactly. He called this system mutualism. Imagine, like, a decentralized society, right? Yeah. Where people and groups are exchanging goods and services based on mutual benefit. They make agreements freely without being controlled by some top-down authority.
That's a cool idea, but how would something like that work in the real world?
Okay, so instead of having a central bank controlling the money, what if individuals and communities created their own systems for exchanging value based on, you know, trust and shared resources?
Okay, I see.
Or think about a network of, like, worker-owned cooperatives. The producers and consumers could interact directly, cutting out the middleman. That way the profits are, you know, shared more fairly.
So it's not about having this, like, pyramid structure with all the power at the top. It's more like a web of interconnected relationships where mutual respect and shared goals are the foundation.
Yeah, precisely. And this idea of mutualism, it's really relevant today in the information age. We're seeing these decentralized technologies popping up all over the place, like blockchain and cryptocurrencies. They offer a whole new way of organizing and exchanging value outside of those traditional, you know, centralized systems.
I'm starting to see how it all connects. How do you think Proudhon would view these new technologies? Would he think they were, like, potential tools for building a more just and equitable society? Or would he see them as just, you know, new versions of the same old problems?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, Proudhon was very skeptical of any system that concentrated power, even if it claimed to be decentralized. He'd probably tell us to approach these new technologies with a healthy dose of caution, to really think critically about them.
So we shouldn't just blindly accept any technology just because it's labeled as decentralized. We need to look deeper and see if it actually empowers individuals and communities.
Exactly. We have to ask ourselves, who's really in control of this technology? Who's benefiting from it? And does it actually promote fairness and cooperation? Or is it just the same old power structures dressed up in a new shiny package?
It's kind of like the woodcutter from the story. Are we relying on these individual heroes to solve problems that are, you know, built into the system? Or do we need to take broader action as a collective to create lasting change?
Proudhon would probably say we need both. Things like choosing to use ethical platforms, advocating for data privacy, or supporting those worker-owned cooperatives. Those individual actions are super important for, you know, chipping away at the existing power structures.
But those individual actions, they need to be combined with collective efforts to really make a difference and build a more just and equitable digital landscape.
Absolutely. We need to push for regulations that protect our data, that promote net neutrality, and that ensure that technology is serving everyone, not just the powerful few.
It's like we're all Little Red Riding Hood trying to find our way through this complicated force of the information age, trying to, you know, reach our destination without running into any of those wolves hiding in the shadows.
That's a great way to put it. And just like in the story, we have to be aware of the potential dangers, question what we think is true, and be willing to stand up to those who might try to exploit us. We can't just follow the path blindly, right? We have to think critically. We have to be engaged.
So how do we bring Proudhon's ideas into our digital lives? How can we use technology to build a better world, a more just and equitable world, instead of letting it make existing inequalities worse?
Well, I think it starts with education, with understanding how power works in this digital world. Mm-hmm. We need to be informed, you know, question the algorithms that shape our online experiences, demand transparency from the companies that are collecting our data, and support alternatives that that prioritize individual empowerment and social responsibility.
That sounds like a pretty big task.
Yeah.
Where do we even start? Yeah, it's a lot, right? This huge digital world full of, like, hidden paths and tricky wolves waiting to pounce. But Proudhon, he was all about individual empowerment, right? believed in people being able to think for themselves, make their own choices without some authority figure breathing down their necks.
Exactly. That was like a core principle for him, the idea that every individual has dignity and the capacity to reason. He argued that we should be free to govern ourselves, manage our own affairs without the state or any other centralized power interfering.
Right, right. But it wasn't just about like everyone for themselves, was it?
Yeah.
Didn't he also see the value in people coming together, working together?
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's not an either or thing. He knew that while individual freedom is essential, we can achieve so much more when we collaborate. He really believed in the power of like voluntary associations, cooperative efforts to tackle social and economic challenges.
So it's about like finding that sweet spot. Individual freedom, but also a sense of shared responsibility,
right?
Which feels especially relevant now in this digital age. How do we protect our individual rights online while also making sure that technology benefits like everyone, the whole of society?
It's a constant balancing act, isn't it? Individual freedom versus the well-being of the collective. And with technology changing so rapidly, I mean, it just gets more and more complicated. New devices, new platforms, new ways to connect. It's nonstop.
Yeah, and it feels like we're always trying to catch up. You know, trying to wrap our heads around what it all means before it completely changes our world.
And that's where Proudhon's focus on critical thinking becomes so important. He wanted people to question everything, to challenge their assumptions, to really examine the power dynamics at play beneath the surface.
He wasn't afraid to, like, shake things up, challenge the status quo, even if it made people uncomfortable.
And that's something we need desperately in this digital age. People who are willing to ask the tough questions, to challenge the immense power these tech giants have, to demand transparency, accountability from those who control the flow of information.
So we need like digital age Proudhons fighting for a fairer, more equitable online world.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't just about critiquing things, right? Proudhon actually proposed alternative ways of organizing society based on like cooperation, mutualism, spreading the power around instead of keeping it all at the top.
Exactly. So as we wrap up today, let's leave our listeners with this. If Proudhon were here today, what would he say about the immense wealth and power these tech giants have accumulated?
Yeah, would he see them as the new wolves taking advantage of information and users for their own profit? Would he call for a radical redistribution of digital resources?
Or would he be more fascinated by the potential of decentralized technologies to empower individuals and communities, you know, to build a more democratic online world?
It's definitely something to think about. Makes you really consider what values are shaping the digital world we're creating.
Yeah.
The choices we make today, they have a huge impact on the world we'll live in tomorrow.
Absolutely. So keep exploring these ideas. Keep asking questions. Keep challenging the way things are. And let's work together to build a digital world that reflects those values of freedom, of justice, of empowerment that Proudhon so passionately fought for.
And that's it for today's deep dive. We hope you found it insightful, maybe even a little magical.